And all the multitude of them stood up and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting the nation and forbidding to give levy to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." But Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering him declared, "Thou sayest." And Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. When he knew that he was from Herod's authority, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem in those days. And Herod, seeing Jesus, rejoiced greatly, for he was wanting to see him for a considerable time, because he had heard many things about him and hoped to see some sign done by him. And he asked him with a considerable number of words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood vehemently accusing him. And Herod, making him as nothing with his soldiers and mocking, arrayed him in a splendid cloak and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day, Pilate and Herod became friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, having called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said to them, "You have brought to me this man as one who perverts the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no guilt in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. But neither did Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death has been committed by him. Therefore, having chastised him, I will release him." And of necessity, he must release one to them at the feast. But they cried out all at once, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas," who for a certain insurrection made in the city and for murder had been cast into prison. Again, therefore, Pilate summoned them, wanting to release Jesus. But they cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify him." And he said to them a third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no guilt of death in him. Therefore, having chastised him, I will release him." But they pressed upon him with loud voices, asking that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate assented that it should be as they required. And he released to them him who for insurrection and murder had been cast into prison, whom they had asked, but he delivered up Jesus to their will. That the Jews who were at Jerusalem crucified the Lord means that he was crucified by the evils and falsities therefrom which they loved. For all things recorded in the word respecting the Lord's passion represented the perverted state of the church with that nation. For although they accounted the word holy, yet by their traditions they perverted all things in it, until there was no longer any divine good or truth remaining with them. And when divine good and divine truth which are in the word no longer remain, evils and falsities from infernal love follow in their place, and these are what crucify the Lord. Crucifixion signified a condemnation and curse because of the destruction of good in the church, for the reason that wood upon which they were hung signified good and in the contrary sense evil, both pertaining to the will. Jesus said to the disciples that he must suffer at Jerusalem, and that the Son of Man shall be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they shall condemn him and deliver him up to the Gentiles to be mocked, to be scourged, and to be crucified, and the third day he shall rise again. The spiritual sense of these words is that divine truth in the church where mere falsities of doctrine and evils of life reign shall be blasphemed. The truth will be blasphemed. Its truth shall be perverted and its good destroyed. The Son of Man signifies divine truth, which is the Word. And Jerusalem signifies the church where mere falsities and evils reign. The chief priests and scribes signify the adulterations of good and the falsifications of truth, both from infernal love. To condemn him and deliver him to the Gentiles signifies to assign divine truth and divine good to hell, and to deliver them to the evils and falsities that are from hell. The Gentiles signifying the evils that are from hell and that destroy the goods of the church. To be mocked, to be scourged, and to be crucified signifies to blaspheme, falsify, and pervert the church, the truth, and to adulterate and destroy the good of the church and of the word, as above. And the third day he shall rise again signifies the complete glorification of the Lord's human. From this it can be seen what is signified in the spiritual sense by the Lord's crucifixion, also what is signified by the various mockings then connected with it, as that they put a crown of thorns on his head, that they smote him with a reed, and also that they spat in his face, with many other things related in the Gospels, this signifying that the Jewish nation treated divine truth and good itself, which was the Lord, in a like heinous manner. For the Lord suffered the heinous state of that church to be represented in himself, and this was also signified by his bearing their iniquities. Amen.